You are listening to a sermon recorded in 2007 at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Riding into Jerusalem.
A time of public celebration.
A time of private sadness.
A time of outward joy.
A time of inward fear.
A time with disciples, family, and friends.
A time of unimaginable solitude.
Jesus riding into Jerusalem.
Us walking beside him.
We are the disciples. We are the crowds. We are the priests and the lawgivers. We are the people.
We are who we are, children of God, with joys and sorrows, with strengths and fears.
We are who we are, children of God, come to celebrate God's wisdom, Christ's love, and the Spirit's presence,
now
and forevermore.
We praise and bless you, ever-living God, for the acts of love by which you redeem the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. This day he entered the holy city of Jerusalem and was proclaimed king by those who spread their garments and palm branches along his way. Let these branches be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them may always acclaim Jesus Messiah by walking the way of his suffering and cross, that dying and rising with him we may enter into your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. We're going to have some of the scripture readings that are listed for this Sunday in the lectionary calendar, and I would ask Dawn, please, to read the first passage from Psalm 118.
Readings from Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
And we're going to hear the Palm Sunday story from the Gospel of Luke, and Erica will read that for us.
After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place where the Mount of Olives, he has said to his disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the things of power that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.
We don't have a sermon today. We don't have a speaker. But I have a couple of reflections that I found. I'll read one at this time, appearing in the National Catholic Reporter in 2001. The Road to Jerusalem is Clear, Meditations on Lent. The miracle of the Red Sea, the rabbis taught, is not the parting of the waters. The miracle of the Red Sea is that with a wall of water on each side of him, the first Jew walked through. The implications are clear. God is not in this alone. Yes, God may be all-powerful and eternally unfailing, but that's not the point. The real key to the coming of the reign of God on earth, the rabbis imply, is not God's fidelity. The real determinant between what ought to be and what will be in this world is the mettle of our own unflagging faith that the God who leads us to a point of holy wakefulness stays with us through it to the end. The key to what happens on earth does not lie in God's will. All God can do is part the waters. It lies in the courage we bring to the parting of them. It lies in the courage we bring to the parting of them. It lies in deciding whether or not we will walk through the parting waters of our own lives today. Just as surely as there was a need for courage at the Red Sea, just as surely as there was need for courage on Jesus' last trip to Jerusalem, there is need for it here and now as well. The waters part all around us too now. The road to Jerusalem is clear. We are surrounded by situations that have solutions without solvers with the political will to resolve them. The old cannot afford their prescriptions. The young have no food. The middle-aged work two jobs and slip silently into poverty, whatever their efforts. The globe turns warmer and more vulnerable by the day. Species disappear. The unborn are unwanted. The born are uncared for. Racism, sexism, and homophobia destroy families and poison relationships. The mighty buy more guns. The powerful pay fewer taxes. The national infrastructure slips into disrepair. Fundamentalist groups and governments everywhere seek to suppress opposition, to deny questions, to resist change, to block development. We are all on the road to Jerusalem again. Some of us dedicated to restoring a long-lost past, others committed to creating a better future. It takes no special vision to see what is happening. We have an entirely new worldview to integrate into our spiritual lives. The cosmos is different now. The globe is different now. The unthinkable is thinkable now. What takes vision is to realize that this is the same Jerusalem over which Jesus wept. This is the great society that has forgotten the widow and the orphan, that enthrones the Pharisee and stones the prophets, that speaks of morality while it institutionalizes the immoral. We decry violence and practice it. We talk about equality and deny it. We practice religion and forget the gospel. Into this mix of struggle and tension, of cultural divides and future possibilities, of global uncertainties and dogmatic certainties, comes the sixth question of Lent. It is a simple but a searing one. Who will cry out? Rabbi, stop your disciples from calling attention to you, the Pharisees demand on this Sunday's scripture. There is another agenda here to be attended to, after all, theirs. Or tradition. Or is it simply any present event at which, whatever, fill in the blank. And that is improper. Everything and anything but Jesus is on those agendas, in fact. Gentlemen, you can almost hear the tone of voice. Jesus says to those who want to ignore the greater questions with which he confronts them, if these disciples do not speak up, even the stones will cry out. There are some things, in other words, that are so major, so world-shaking, so morally demanding, that they simply will not go away, no matter how much we try to ignore them or damp them or nicen them up or command them away. They affect so many people that they will not be minimized. They are erupting everywhere and cannot be dismissed. They may be denied the public arena over and over again, but they will not be smothered, though heaven knows smother than we try. But the flow of history moves inexorably on with each issue that is disregarded in one period, rising even more violently in the period that follows. In every decade and in every country and religion, the women's movement keeps reappearing. In every nation, everywhere, the plight of the poor is threatening the rich. In every part of the globe, every year, the ongoing loss of natural resources undermines the well-being of people everywhere. So the question persists, who will cry out if not you, if not I? It is a shattering moment, this confrontation with the inevitable, in the middle of this 40-day retreat into the self. Just when it would be so much more comfortable to sink into the symbolism of Lent, we are required to face reality. Just when we would like to put it all down for a while, all the clamor, all the dirty business around us, all the ecclesiastical arm wrestling, all the social issues, and concentrate simply on the spiritual life, on Jesus, we find ourselves in a crowd on the noisy, sweaty road to Jerusalem, caught between the Pharisees and Jesus, caught between the keepers of the system and the Word of God, caught between the stability of the past and the painful beginning of a new future, where deep down we know we hear the deniers denying him and mourners crying for his absence and the question hanging in the air, who will cry out? Who will cry out? Who will cry out? You will find a litany on the Station of the Cross. Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. In the name of Jesus we pray,
Lord, help us to take up our cross and follow you.
You stood before Pilate, your life condemned, your word rejected, your innocence ignored.
Keep us from rejecting your word of truth and salvation.
You carried your cross on the wounded stripes of your back for love of us and for all the world.
Help us to bear our cross for love of you and for love of others.
The weight of your cross was the weight of our sins, which makes us stumble and fall.
In our weakness, we turn to you for strength.
Although you suffered, you still reached out to care for your mother.
May our cross-bearing never keep us from caring for our families.
As you struggled to bear your cross to Calvary, a passerby was drafted to help you.
Make us as willing as Simon to bear the burdens of those who need.
Others also took risks to comfort you.
Strengthen our faith to take loving risks for our needy brothers and sisters.
Sin weighed heavily upon you as you stumbled along the way.
Forgive us, Lord, for the sins which make us fall.
Your suffering under the cross caused the women of Jerusalem to weep.
Make our suffering in your life a share in your suffering.
The full burden of our sin crushed you mightily to the earth.
Do not forsake us in our falling, but bring us to repentance and faith.
Stripped and jeered, you endured humiliation without complaint.
Humble us in our work and daily lives.
Nailed to the cross, you took your place among the condemned.
Take your place beside us sinners, and bring us through faith to the paradise of God.
When your sacrifice was complete, you handed your life to the Father, and he did not forsake you.
Keep us close to your cross and death, now and at the hour of our death.
Faithful friends and loving women took loving care of your lifeless body.
Turn the darkness of death into the brightness of day for those we love.
In the tomb you were laid, but from the tomb you arose.
Be the Lord of the resurrection for us and for all the baptized.
Andre, would you please read the scripture reading from Isaiah?
Isaiah 50, verses 4 to 9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear, to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backwards. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up.
Thank you. The second reflection comes from Sojourners online. They often have an introduction and to a week, a lectionary for a theme, and then a paragraph for each Sunday. So this is Michaela, I don't know how to pronounce it, Bruzzese, the introductory paragraph and the reflection for Palm Sunday. Though we go forth weeping, we shall come back rejoicing. Russian philosopher Nicholas Berdyaev, a devout Christian, observed, "I always knew that freedom gives birth to suffering, while the refusal to be free diminishes suffering. Freedom is hard. It is a heavy burden. We face this burden on the Lenten journey. It is our choice whether or not to follow this God-turned-slave, this word become flesh, even unto death. Knowing the end of the journey should help us enter into it more easily and joyfully. But for many, Lent remains a confusing jumble of obligation, guilt, and custom. If we want to follow the suffering Christ, we must strip away all that is false and all that keeps us from worshiping God. This is the mystery of the Passion. Only when we are stripped and emptied can we be filled with the bountiful new life of the resurrection. Only when we have plumbed the depths of our own limitations and failures to live as God's disciples can we know and freely accept God's forgiveness. And only when we know ourselves as broken yet fiercely loved can we share the mercy and new life with which we have been gifted. Let us enter this process joyfully. We are not alone, but accompanied by the strength of the ancient covenant, our religious ancestors, and holy people around the world. We go forth with confidence, knowing that my strength and my courage is the Lord. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Psalm 118, 14, and 17. This day of palms and passion begins with a king's welcome and ends with a prisoner's execution. Jesus' painful steps are not limited to a singular event in time. Rather, they are a recurring journey throughout time for those who try to forge love and justice in an unjust world. Jesus now invites us to his cries, in the cries of all who struggle, and to witness his suffering as theirs. Do we dare? As Christians, can we do anything less? There is a high price to pay for such witness and solidarity, as the scriptures testify. I gave my back to those who beat me. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting, Isaiah proclaims. The psalmist cries for help. I am a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. Despite his pain, His faith is not shaken. For my trust is in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. Truly, this is our God, who, as Paul says, emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. This is no God, no king that we're used to. This is the master turned servant. Word become flesh, with a love so powerful that he seeks us out in human form, walking among us as peacemaker and healer, repairer of the breach. Many prefer to avoid Jesus' radical Palm Sunday commitment to justice and love. 1 month before his assassination in El Salvador in 1977, Father Retiro Grande decried that there are those who would prefer a buried Christ, a dummy to carry through the streets in processions, not Jesus of Nazareth, who asks for lives lived in service to establishing a just order, the uplifting of the wretched, the values of the gospel. On this Passion Sunday, we can choose which Jesus we will follow. We pray for the courage to accompany Jesus of Nazareth, the suffering Christ, knowing that death will never have the last word. A prayer of approach and confession. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you with heart and life and voice, not only with outward signs such as palm branches or the occasional Hosanna, but with lives truly turned towards you. It seems such a distance from this present day Palm Sunday in Canada to that day when you entered Jerusalem with the shouts of the crowds ringing in your ears, welcomed as a king, yet riding on a lowly donkey, greeted with cheers and acclamations which were so soon to turn to jeers and condemnation. From this side of the resurrection, we confidently believe that we could never have been part of that jeering crowd. But would we if we had been there? Lord Jesus Christ, when our words and actions reflect a reluctance to confess you publicly as Lord of our lives,
forgive us.
When we fear that humbling ourselves would be seen by others as weakness or some kind of defect in our character,
forgive us.
When we have betrayed your love for us through our lack of love for you, for others, and for ourselves,
forgive us.
When we find ourselves glossing over the events of your passion and death because we look forward to Easter as a time to enjoy holidays and have fun,
forgive us.
Lord Jesus Christ, fix your mind in us and remake us in your likeness. Empty us of all that hinders us from following you to where pain and suffering, exploitation and injustice exist.
Gracious and loving God, empower us with the Holy Spirit so that our lives continually glorify you and our tongues forever confess Jesus as Lord. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hear the good news. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Through his obedience, we are therefore freed from whatever sin enslaves us.
Thanks be to God.
Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine and ourselves, a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation. The body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever.
Amen.
And now, with the shadow of the cross before us and the memory of this meal behind us, in the presence of the Spirit of God, let us leave this time and place to journey with Christ and with one another into all that lies waiting for us. May we be blessed this holy week, and may we be a blessing. Go in peace.